All right. Questions.
Oh, hi.
Hey, sis. You need to separate your mic button from your video button. That's what you gotta do somehow. But
I think my laptop needs to be cleansed.
oh, okay.
But I think that the answer came to me, and I think it's a clear answer.
Okay.
But I just want to run it by you because I was here, my pastor teaching. He was saying that about Satan in the Bible, Satan spoke through Paul. Was he talking about when he was persecuting the Christians, or is it something else other than that?
We'll say this again.
He said that Satan spoke through Paul. And I'm thinking about it there. I said, was he talking about when Paul was being was persecuting the Christians or what? Is there anything in the Bible say that he was?
That's new to me. If that's the case, wait. Let me. I can't say I ever heard that. Satan spoke through Paul. And he didn't give you any scripture on that.
Well, I think I was so caught off guard. I don't know if he did or not. But I can't remember if it was John MacArthur or oh, it might have been Paul Washer, one of those. But
Hold on.
today when I was thinking about it, I said, well, maybe he was talking about when he was persecuting the Christians.
But I mean, now we got to be careful sometimes when we assume because of something that happened and we just add that in there. That's what I'm saying. I can't say he spoke through Paul. If you can find out from that where that at, if anybody else online heard anything of that and where what scripture backs that up, I would love to see that. I can't say I've ever heard that.
Well, I never heard it either. That's why I was like, "What? Where is this at?" And that's why I'm gonna ask the question: Is it in the Bible? Because I never heard it before either.
I don't think it is, but once again, it could be, it would be a big surprise to me unless they're using something in there like say, over interpreting.
Right.
So now, could it be talking about when it's talking about, remember when he says the thorn and he says a messenger of Satan?
Right.
Could it mean that? But that's not, it didn't speak through Paul. It's saying that's what the thorn was to him. It was something that was tormenting him and it was defeating him and trying to beat him up, basically. But it didn't say it spoke through Paul or anything like that. So I can't see. If you could find scripture, I would love to hear that.
Okay. All right. So my next question, now listen to another teaching. They were talking about Hebrews 2 to 14 and 15, and it was said that going back to the Garden of Eden, that Satan had the power of death. And then the power, which was to make man fear death, but then he said Christ made him powerless. We're talking that he mentioned Job 1:17. It was talking about when Job's family was killed, because then in Luke 12:4-5, he was saying that about how Jesus has the power to kill the body and the soul. And he basically was saying that power was taken from Satan, and now Jesus has the power to kill the body and the soul.
That's correct. That's correct. And I don't know if you remember, I think it's 1 Corinthians 15, where it says, and I'm wondering where they got both of them from, but in 1 Corinthians 15, when in verse 54 and 55 says, when the perishable puts on the imperishable and the mortal puts on the immortal, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. They knew they were doomed for death. They understood something else was coming and talking about going down to the pit. And you would hear that in the Old Testament. It's the New Testament is where we get the understanding that, like you said, that's gone. We all understood death, but we didn't fear death anymore because we had access to eternal life through Christ. So the fear was in, like you said, the destruction, which was that death, the eternal death, and not the initial death that everybody is permitted to go through, even though everyone's not going to have to go through.
Okay. So I want to read what I have on my notes to figure out, to see if what I know about save and salvation is correct.
Okay.
So once saved, always saved is not true. If you are saved, you have to live by the word of God, and your life reflects that. If you say that you are saved and live as the world, or don't change, you are unsaved and just saying you're saved.
Very well put.
So then the question was, can you lose your salvation? Mm-hmm. No, but you can decline the gift of salvation. But you said last week that we can't lose our salvation because we don't receive our eternal salvation until Christ returns. Is that true or false?
No, that's false. The eternal part, the actual receiving of salvation won't happen until we change. But when a person gets saved now and they stay in that, you have already received your salvation. As the Bible puts, it's implied. It's basically saying, okay, you got it, as long as you don't leave it. Does that make sense? So in other words, you have it now, but because we still have this fleshly body, because we can even still leave, all that stuff is what makes it that if we don't, you know, overcome and stay in there, then we could lose it. That's the part we're waiting for, the actual salvation that we're going to receive. And that's when the Bible tells us, I can't remember the verse, but where it says, when the actual salvation comes, why we can't lose it is because losing it is implying that I'm doing the best I can and I must have messed up somewhere and then I dropped it somewhere, so on and so forth. No, they're literally you taking another path, you not following God. And this is why I think one of the biggest dangers is Christians want the title without the responsibility or without the lifestyle. And that's what we've turned it into. So today, more people haven't necessarily declined it. They just never really accepted it. And he shows us throughout the Bible, the proof, like you said earlier, is going to be in our actions. Those who are living the Bible are the ones who are saved. Those who are not, are not.
So the salvation, once you save and you stay in and walk out that you're walking out in the word and your life reflects that, then you have received your salvation, you accepted salvation.
So you're as good as having it. Even though you don't have it at that moment, you're considered as having it. Does that make sense? It's almost like the war that we're going to win against Satan. That's why it's basically saying we've already won the war. You understand? Mm-hmm. Even though the war is not over with, only because of what his word says and our faith in him. So all of that is based on what's to come. Mm-hmm. So the true salvation is going to save us from something that hasn't necessarily 100% happened yet, which is God's wrath and hell and all that other stuff.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
I'll listen to it again.
Okay.
And then, okay. All right. Thank you.
Yep.
Other questions? All right. That's another question.
Okay.
So I was reading about Cain and Abel again. Mm-hmm. And then I was reading the commentaries, and they were saying that Cain, first they were talking about, you know, that they, no, they said that Cain, his heart wasn't right. That's why his gift wasn't received by God. But Abel's heart was right before God. That was the main thing they were saying. But when I read the scripture, I don't really get that. They even said why one was accepted, the other one wasn't accepted.
He does kind of say it. If you go to, let's go back to Genesis. What is that? Genesis. So in Genesis 4. And I'm going to go straight to the part where God is talking to Cain. And so it's going to be in 4:9. No.
In 6, he asked him why he was angry.
with your con. Yeah, okay, yeah, there you go, right there. All right, so it says, then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? He says, if you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at the door. It desires to have you, but you must master it. So there's implied in there. There's something that was done or which was shown. And if you notice, it didn't, even though, and this is where translation can get mixed up, is because he didn't necessarily sin yet, but in what he did was giving room for sin. That's why it says, if you do what is right or if you don't do what is right. Now, some people always said, oh, because one gave vegetables and the other one gave animals. That's not the case. We don't see that before the law and all that stuff. So in this case, but you know, people are jumping on. So, but supposedly there's something Cain did that wasn't godly in reference to what Abel did, but we don't know what that is. And so then when people say his heart, which I would have to agree, which is your purpose. So Abel's heart, because remember, it's a man reaps what he sows, then it goes into the one who does it to please the spirit, receives eternal life, and the one who does what he does for the flesh, receives destruction. So whatever Cain was doing probably was more him purposed, while Abel was doing it more God purposed, whatever that is.
Okay, because it does say, when it says that by him being angry, then that makes you, that was a sin right there, right?
No, it's not angry to be, it's not sinful to be angry. It's not to let your anger make you sin.
But it did, because he killed his brother.
Well, in his anger, he killed his brother, yes. And he was angry, and there was probably envy or jealousy there as well, why he killed his brother. Do you know what I mean? So there's a couple of things that were happening there that he really messed up and put himself in the position that he did. But he was upset in the first place of why was his accepted and mine wasn't. And then people, like, you know, scholars and everything wrote on it. And it's another one of those things where people have taken license to add to it instead of just reading what's there. He did something wrong compared to Abel doing something right for it to be accepted. We just don't know what that is. And instead of us filling it in, it's just like Paul Storm. We don't fill it in because then we get caught up and, you know, we get confused or lost because we're adding to it instead of just taking what he gives us and going, okay, got it.
Okay, thank you.
Yep. Other questions? I do want to say, I was talking to somebody earlier. And if people aren't aware of it, I think you guys are, but I just want to kind of make you aware of it because we're hearing a lot more of it today and some are even introducing them. But the books, the Apocrypha, and you have, they're called, it's known to call, be called the Lost Books, and that's what the older ones were called. And you have newer Apocrypha, which is the New Testament, new books. And they were books that weren't included in the Bible, which you have some people now that are finding and adding into their Bible. The Catholic Bible has some of those books in their Bible. Some places try to have them. Just be careful and avoid those things because they can become very confusing and dangerous. But a lot are adding them to, especially in the New Testament one. And like I said, what some churches are doing, in fact, the notable one, Carlton Pearson, if you remember him, his church now is where he accepts every sin and everybody to come in because he read one of these lost books called the Revelation of Peter. It's either the last or, you know, and it's not a real book. I mean, it's been shown and proven it's a false book or whatever. But in this book, it's basically saying the people who are going to hell are going to hell and people who are going to heaven are going to heaven. Then God's going to go, okay, I was just playing. Those who are in hell can come out and everybody's going to go to heaven. And so he's basically saying, so these people who are doing wrong will go through some temporary punishment and then they're going to go, which contradicts, of course, the word of God. It was a book that was written wrong. But I'm putting that out there because more and more people are dabbling in these books and it's causing more confusion than what you think. So just be very careful of that. These books can be very dangerous, but you got these people. And one reason why they're doing it too is because the organizations that once again call themselves Christians have added so much other junk in Christianity that people who are now leaving those organizations are trying to find something with more substance. And then they're finding these places going, hey, they didn't tell you about this and they didn't tell you about that. And it's becoming dangerous in itself. So I just wanted to bring that to your attention. If you hear about these books or books that weren't quote unquote weren't included, we trust in God, they weren't included for a purpose. And then we just walk by faith and go from there. Okay. So I just wanted to make sure I put that out there. Any questions on that or anything else before we start the lesson?
That's kind of like the same as one of my friends. She reads those books, but she said that they have this one, Black Women, mm-hmm. Of the Bible, and they tell you more about each of the women in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I was thinking when she was telling me, I don't know where they get the additional information from.
Right.
They but get what's from- the difference between Fox's Book of Martyrs?
I get, from what? Sorry, say this again?
Fox's Book of Martyrs.
So you mean the books that the Bible refers to?
No, remember the book that Fox's Book of Martyrs, they tell you about the different people.
But they're going in the Bible and they're just taking out stuff out the Bible to tell you about stuff in the Bible. When somebody writes a book about stuff that's actually in the Bible and they go over them without adding detail to it, that's okay. They're doing what we do in church. That's what we're doing. We're going in, getting the stories, and we're going over that story to gain an understanding of it. When you get something that's outside of the book and they tell you and the additives to a story and say, hey, this is the other thing that happened. And this is why I was saying with the danger with some of the television shows when they have to add the license and they start adding personality or adding other things to it, that can actually distort the word that was given to us. And we got to be careful of those.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'll probably do something on them a little later to go over, to talk about that some more, just because I'd see it coming out a lot more and it's disturbing and a little concerning. So, but thank you all for your questions.